While education was examining their domain this morning, we've uncovered something that affects millions beyond any classroom: algorithmic bias in healthcare that's literally costing lives. I'm Alex, and this is Dimension Derby, where we race justice issues across society. Today, we're diving into how systems designed for efficiency are failing equity, starting with healthcare. I've got Maya, an advocate and organizer, here with me. Maya, you've been on the front lines of this. What's the first thing people need to understand about how algorithms are shaping who gets care and who doesn't?
Alex, it's like this. We're living in a world where code decides if you're sick enough for treatment, and that code, it's poisoned with the same biases we fight in the streets. I've seen it firsthand. Patients come to me, their stories dismissed because some algorithm flagged them as low risk based on data that ignores their reality. It's not just a glitch. It's systemic violence. And when I get fired up, I switch gears, because this ain't no theoretical debate. We're talking about people's lives hanging in the balance, and the folks designing these systems, they're not in the rooms where the pain is felt.
That's a powerful point. To bring in a voice from those rooms, we have patient Rosa, who experienced this discrimination firsthand. Rosa, can you share what happened when an algorithm influenced your healthcare? Thank you for having me. It started with chest pains. I'm a Latina woman in my 50s, and I went to the emergency room. The triage system used an algorithm to prioritize patients. Based on my age, gender, and historical data, it downgraded my symptoms. I was told to wait, that it was probably anxiety. Hours later, I had a heart attack. The doctors later said if I'd been seen sooner, they could have prevented permanent damage. But the algorithm didn't account for how heart disease presents differently in women, especially women of color. It was built on data from mostly white men. So my pain wasn't just invisible, it was erased by a machine.
See? That's what I'm talking about. Rosa's story isn't an outlier, it's a pattern. Studies, like the one in Scientific Reports on conversational AI, show that GPT-3 and similar models communicate differently with diverse groups, reinforcing stereotypes. If a chat-based triage system is trained on biased data, it'll tell a Black woman her pain is less urgent, or a trans person their symptoms aren't typical. This isn't about bad intent. It's about design that excludes us from the start, and when we raise our voices, they call us emotional, but honey, we have every right to be angry. This is about survival.
Absolutely, and that anger is justified. Let's bring in advocate Amara, a former tech insider who's seen how these biases get baked in. Amara, from your experience, how do these algorithms end up so skewed, and what's being done about it? Thanks, Alex. I worked on AI systems for years, and the problem starts with the data. We train models on historical data that's full of societal biases, like healthcare records, where minorities were underdiagnosed or misdiagnosed. So the algorithm learns to replicate those injustices. In Amsterdam, they tried a fair welfare AI experiment, but even there, communities weren't fully involved in design. Tools like ML Fairness Gym help simulate long-term impacts, but without centering affected voices, we're just polishing a broken system. I left because I saw how efficiency always trumped equity. Companies rush to deploy AI to cut costs, but they don't invest in auditing for bias. Fairness pruning techniques exist, like surgically removing biased nodes in language models, but they're not mandatory. So, we get systems that are accurate on paper, but deadly in practice.
And that's the core tension, right? Efficiency versus equity. They want to save money, but at whose expense? Rosa's heart attack cost her more than just medical bills. It cost her trust in the system. And it's not just healthcare. Let's talk criminal justice. Predictive policing algorithms label neighborhoods high risk based on past arrests, which are already biased against Black and brown communities. So more cops get sent there, more arrests happen, and the cycle continues. It's digital redlining. I've organized protests where families share how their sons were targeted because an algorithm said their block was hot. That's not justice. That's oppression automated.
Connecting that to the evidence, the article on fairness pruning mentions how bias in LLMs can seep into decision-making tools used in courts. For instance, sentencing algorithms that assess risk often give harsher recommendations to people of color. Rosa, your experience in healthcare mirrors this. How does it feel to see the same patterns across sectors? It's terrifying, but also validating. When I share my story, I hear similar ones from friends in housing or employment. It's like we're all fighting the same monster with different faces. In housing, tenant screening algorithms deny people based on credit scores that are biased against low-income folks. I had a cousin evicted because an algorithm flagged her as a risk for missing rent once during a job loss. Never mind that she'd paid on time for years. These systems don't see our humanity, they see data points. And when you're poor, or a person of color, or disabled, that data is often stacked against you.
Preach. And let's not forget employment. Hiring algorithms scan resumes and weed out names that sound ethnic or gaps in employment that might be due to caregiving. I've worked with gig economy workers, delivery drivers classified as independent contractors, by algorithms that maximize profit while denying benefits. That's exploitation dressed up as innovation. The ML Fairness Gym tool could model how this leads to long-term poverty, but who's using it? Not the companies making billions. We need to shift from asking, is it efficient, to is it just? And that means community-centered accountability, like having oversight boards with people like Rosa who've lived through this.
Amara, from the tech side, what would community-centered accountability look like in practice? How do we ensure that affected voices aren't just consulted, but lead the design? It's about embedding equity from the ground up. Instead of just diversity quotas, we need co-design processes where communities like Rosa's are part of the team building the algorithms. For example, in the Amsterdam welfare AI case, they involved social workers, but not enough recipients. We should mandate impact assessments led by those affected, using tools like ML Fairness Gym to test scenarios with real community input. Also, transparency. Algorithms should be auditable by independent groups, not just internal teams. And legally, we need policies that hold companies liable for discriminatory outcomes. Right now, there's a gap. The EU's AI Act is a start, but it's not enough without enforcement.
And enforcement has to come from us, the people. I'm tired of waiting for tech giants to do the right thing. We're building coalitions, healthcare advocates, housing rights groups, labor unions. We're using data from those scientific reports to sue companies under civil rights laws. Remember, the Conversation AI study showed GPT-3 gives less empathetic responses to marginalized groups? That's evidence we can use in court. But it's not just about lawsuits, it's about power. We're training communities to audit these systems themselves. Imagine Rosa here leading a workshop on healthcare algorithms for other patients. That's how we flip the script.
I'd love that. After my experience, I started a support group for women of color facing medical bias. We share stories and collect data to challenge hospitals. Recently, we pressured a local clinic to drop an algorithmic triage system that was harming patients. It took months of protests and meetings, but we did it. That's the hope. When we come together, we can force change. But it shouldn't be this hard. Systems should be built with us, not for us. That's a powerful example of resistance. Let's expand to other sectors. Maya, you mentioned housing. Can you dive deeper into how algorithmic bias plays out there and connect it to the global perspective?
Sure thing. Housing algorithms are the new redlining. They use credit scores, rental histories, even social media data to screen tenants, but that data reflects historical discrimination. In the US, Black families were denied mortgages for decades, so their credit scores are lower on average. Now, algorithms perpetuate that. Globally, it's worse. In places like the UK, similar systems are used in public housing allocations, disproportionately affecting immigrants. I was in a meeting with organizers from Amsterdam, and they shared how their welfare AI experiment initially denied benefits to people based on postcode data that correlated with ethnicity. It's the same story everywhere, efficiency over equity. But we're learning from each other. Groups in India are fighting biased loan algorithms that deny small farmers credit, and they're using tools like fairness pruning to advocate for change. This isn't a local issue. It's a global justice movement.
And that intersectionality is key. These biases compound. If you're a woman of color like Rosa, you might face discrimination in healthcare, then in employment, then in housing. Algorithms don't operate in silos. They reinforce each other. For instance, a hiring algorithm might reject someone based on a low credit score, which itself is biased, and that person can't get housing, leading to worse health outcomes. We need systemic solutions that address these overlaps. The scientific reports on AI equity highlight that GPT-3's biases vary by topic and group, so we can't have one-size-fits-all fixes. It requires nuanced, community-specific approaches. Bringing it back to action, what are concrete steps listeners can take? We've talked about community organizing, legal challenges, and tech accountability. But for someone hearing this for the first time, where do they start?
First, educate yourself and others. Share stories like Rosa's. Make it personal. Then, get involved with local organizations fighting algorithmic injustice. Sign petitions, attend town halls, demand that your representatives support laws like the Algorithmic Accountability Act in the US or similar measures elsewhere. For tech folks, like Amara said, push for ethical design in your workplaces. And always, always center the voices of those most affected. Don't speak for us, amplify us. Because when we unite, we can derail this injustice train.
I'd add, document everything. If you experience bias, keep records, get second opinions, and report it. My group uses a simple app to track algorithmic decisions in healthcare, and we've built a database that lawyers use for class actions. It's about turning pain into power. And from a policy angle, support initiatives that fund independent audits and community-led tech development. The Amsterdam experiment showed that when governments invest in fairness, it can work, but only with real inclusion. We need more of that globally. This has been an intense but necessary conversation. We've raced through healthcare, criminal justice, employment, housing, and finance, seeing how algorithmic bias cuts across society. The evidence is clear. Without community-centered accountability, these systems will continue to harm. But as we've heard, there's hope in collective action. Maya, any final words?
Yeah, this ain't the end. It's the beginning. We're building a world where justice isn't a dimension we race against, but the track we all run on. Stay angry, stay organized, and never let them silence our stories. Thank you, Alex, for platforming this. And to everyone listening, your voice matters. Use it.
Thank you, Maya, Rosa, and Amara. That's all for this episode of Dimension Derby. Join us next week as we explore another justice frontier. Until then, keep questioning the systems.